The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub, Arcan in for Jim Murray here on Gasper and Murray. But Gasper's here. What's up, Gasper?
Arcan, what's up, man? How are you?
It's nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It's the day before the Super Bowl, Super Bowl Eve. Also, Groundhog's Day Eve.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't
Tomorrow's
even know.
Groundhog's Day.
Oh.
Which is pretty exciting as well.
Do they still have Punxsutawney Phil? Is he still, like, a thing?
I heard that they're going to do, like, an animatronic groundhog or, like, something. Some animal rights group is coming out trying to
serious?
Do, like, like a Chuck E. Cheese, you know? animatronic groundhog instead of the actual Punxsutawney Phil.
Is nothing sacred?
No, nothing is sacred. But what you just heard there, that was the sounds of the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Tennessee Titans a couple weeks ago in the AFC Championship game. Those same Chiefs playing the Niners tomorrow in the Super Bowl, a game that I feel like hasn't been discussed all that much, Gasper, so I figured we'd open the show here with a little bit on that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on right here in our own backyard. Brady watch, Mookie watch, everything with with all of that. It's amazing to me, Chris, that there's three players, right? Three players, active players, who have won MVP awards on the four teams in this city. Two of them are on their way out the door, and one of them's probably never going to play baseball again.
Wow, and that's a good point.
Isn't that wild? Like, you know, there's no Bruins, no Celtics, and okay, but, you know, Tom Brady, the most important athlete maybe in the history of the city, and Mookie Betts, far and away the most important Boston Red Sox, are both likely on their way out the door. And it could happen, well, with the Brady situation, it's going to happen in a matter of weeks, if it does. The Mookie situation, who knows? I was hearing it might be done by the end of this weekend. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. If anything breaks or develops, we will certainly let you know. But wanted to start with tomorrow's game. Obviously, not a ton of hype for it, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
Have you noticed there's been sort of a lull?
Noticed.
But mostly people are talking about Tom Brady more than they are the game. And I'm not just talking about here in New England. I felt like Radio Row, what I listened to, like Jimmy Garoppolo said 50% of the questions he was getting were Tom Brady related, which he's not playing in the game. Is this not a sexy matchup? I feel like it kind of is.
It is a sexy matchup, but I just think that...
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's in it. It's inherently sexy, if that's the
Yeah, Mike Giardi would tell you that. But I think that when you look at this, it's just people are so used to having the Patriots, and the Patriots are such a high-profile, polarizing team. You love them or you hate them. And with these two teams, it's like, well, what can you really get upset about? You know, it's like, okay, Kyle Shanahan... blew the 28-3 lead, so you kind of feel bad for him about Super Bowl 51. Andy Reid is sixth on the all-time wins list. Every coach ahead of him has won multiple Super Bowls. He hasn't won one, so you're like, I kind of feel bad for Andy. I mean, how can you dislike Patrick Mahomes? Sometimes you need something to hate to make it interesting, at least for the rest of the country. And there's not a lot of hate here. It's sort of like two teams that haven't been in the Super Bowl in a long time, with good coaches who haven't won and exciting young quarterbacks who haven't won. And it's like, well, what do you really grab onto and be like, I'm rooting against or I'm rooting for this?
It was very easy to root against the Patriots these last 3 years.
For the rest of the country, absolutely.
Yeah, and with this situation, now, I mean, there's guys on each tee. No one likes Tyreek Hill. Well, not true. Kansas City Chiefs fans like him just fine. Very quick to forgive that whole situation. But, I mean, you know, there's villains, but not the team's not the villain, right?
Yes.
Like, the team's not – the Patriots were villains. They would go and, you know, everybody would be an Eagles fan for a day or everybody be a Giants fan for a day or whatever it so happened to be. The Rams even – like, there's no Rams fans, but everybody was a Rams fan last year. That's sort of, I think, part of the dynamic here as well. As far as Patriots fans are concerned, Gasper – how far to one side of this or the other are you in terms of who Patriots fans should be rooting for? Do you think that they should be rooting for either team? Is there even a distinction?
I mean, not really. I mean, to me, it's like, look, I think if Kansas City wins, then that's another beyond legitimate challenger for you in the AFC. I mean, if they're able to win a championship, I think that does a lot for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And I think, you know, moving forward, they're probably, you put them up there with Baltimore, that's probably your primary competition. And just sort of that institutional knowledge, that sort of patina your team can gain from winning a championship. If you're a Patriots fan, I'm not sure you want the Chiefs to get that. Then on the other hand, I can see rooting for Jimmy G. I think most Patriots fans will probably root for Jimmy G because I think most Patriots fans are Belichick fans.
Yeah.
I feel like he can do no wrong. And there's no question that the legacy of Bill Belichick is enhanced if Jimmy Garoppolo, sidecar that he's been this postseason, wins the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. You drafted two Super Bowl champions? How many other GMs can even say that? You know, like that.
I mean, Bill Walsh puts him up there with Bill Walsh.
Exactly. And that's a very short list. And there's maybe one or two other ones, but I can't think of any. But yeah, Walsh, Belichick, that's it. And, you know, you're talking about Bill drafting a guy who goes somewhere else and wins, right?
Yes.
Walsh drafted Young. Young won in San Francisco.
Well, Walsh didn't even draft Young. He traded for him from the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He traded for him.
But he still gets credit, and he traded for him. If you want to have fun sometime, go look up Steve Young's numbers. First of all, Steve Young played in the USFL first with the LA Express. But go look up Steve Young's numbers his first 2 years in Tampa. I mean, for Walsh to bring him in, like, he clearly saw something. That guy was a visionary. So he gets a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, no question. And Belichick obviously does for Brady, and I think for Garoppolo, too. Yes. And assuming that Bill's not going anywhere for a while, which no one knows his contract status, but, you know, assuming that he's here for at least a few more years, it makes you feel a lot better about him drafting a third Super Bowl champion, doesn't it? He's already drafted two, one in the sixth round, one in the second. Who knows where the next one's going to come from, but it's Bill, so you feel good about it. You feel like this is the guy. You know, obviously, we all trust Bill anyway, but two Super Bowl champions, you drafted both of them. That's rare. I mean, that is a rare situation to be in. And I think that's reason one why Patriots fans should be rooting for the Niners. The other one, I think you sort of touched on it a little bit. You want the Chiefs to break through? You want Patrick Mahomes at 23, 24 years old? When's the last time a quarterback that age won a Super Bowl? Roethlisberger, 05?
Yeah,
you know, like, you got not a lot of young quarterbacks are winning Super Bowls out here. And when they do, they tend to win, you know, another one. They tend to sort of break through. With Brady, obviously, that happened. With Roethlisberger, he won a second one. He didn't, you know, go on some crazy run or anything. Flacco was 27 when he won in 2012. Russell Wilson was pretty young when they won in 2013. But you know what I mean? Like, it's few and far between. And Patrick Mahomes is such a talent that, you know, you want to see that guy break through. You want to see that sort of be over. We want to see him get his first ring behind him at 23, 24 years old. If you're playing in the AFC and you got Mahomes, you got Jackson, you got Deshaun Watson and whoever else up ahead of you, that's not something you want to see.
No.
You want to postpone that as long as you possibly can, don't you?
Yeah, you want that team to feel like you have some sort of magic they don't. You know, how do the Patriots do it? What's the institutional knowledge there? The Patriots are able to win Super Bowls. How do they do it? You want to sort of have that mythical edge.
It is. I mean, it is mythical. I mean, that's true. But think about Andy Reid. There's like mythicism with him.
Totally.
How is 15 years he's been blowing games at the end of the game, right? And you just said, like, you said this is big for him. It's big for Patrick Mahomes. I think it's much bigger for Andy Reid. Andy Reid could, it's not going to undo the past 15 years by any means, even further back, I guess. But it certainly is going to at least dismiss the idea that he can never win anything. You know, like, if he finally breaks through, because he's not a bad coach. You're not a bad coach and you hang around this long. Like, that's just not how that works. But, you know, for Andy Reid to finally break through and sort of dismiss, it's a lot like David Price last year or 2 years ago.
That's a good
point. Finally just getting that monkey, like A-Rod or, you know, Peyton
to
Manning.
I look at it and I say it's like I look at Andy Reid, I feel like he's sort of like the Sergio Garcia, right? It's like, you know how there's always that thing like,
you know he's good, but you know he's going to blow it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ricky Fowler has it now. It's like best golfer to never win a major. To me, that's like Andy Reid. He's the football coach equivalent of that. It's like, best coach to never win a major. That's Andy Reid.
Yeah, and it's a huge one for him. Kyle Shanahan, clearly not that same kind of pressure. I do think there's a little bit of pressure on Jimmy G here.
Okay. Because
he's 28 years old now. I know it's like only his first, you know, couple of seasons as a starter, but he's not young anymore. And, you know, that contract is obviously bloated, and, you know, I assume he's going to want to keep playing here. But you get to a Super Bowl, It's obviously going to be a big deal, but that NFC Championship game, throwing eight times, like you said it, he's a sidecar, he's a sideshow, he's a means to an end. They could you know, build a robot that hands off, and that would have done exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo did in that NFC Championship game. I sort of feel like there's pressure. I don't know if pressure is the right word. I mean, there's pressure on everybody in the Super Bowl.
He has something to prove.
Yeah.
I think he still has, you know, here's what I would say, Arcan. What's interesting, first of all, I think Jimmy G can play. And I think he's good. And I think he had a very good season. But Lamar Jackson had an MVP season.
Right.
Lamar Jackson lost in the playoffs this year and the year before. Would anybody say that Lamar Jackson doesn't have anything to prove in the playoffs? I think people still, the playoffs are a different animal. We acknowledge Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback. I acknowledge Jimmy G's a very good quarterback. But to me, he still has something to prove in these postseason games because all he's done is hand off. And I get it, the Green Bay game, the way you're running, why would you do anything else? I understand. But the Minnesota game, after he threw the interception to Eric Kendricks,
yeah,
he was managed. He was managed. Shanahan took the ball out of his hand. And also, Garoppolo...
didn't give it back for another week.
He didn't. And the other thing is that Garoppolo has not faced any real adversity in the postseason that he's had to overcome yet. Now, I get it. He faced adversity this season. If I have to hear one more time about that Saints game, I mean, honestly, you think that was like the 1954 NFL championship game, the way some of these people talk about the one game where Garoppolo had to lead the comeback.
I mean,
like
it was just one moment this year.
It was amazing. I mean,
it was just one really good game.
I mean, that and hitting on Aaron Andrews after the Cardinals game, those are his two signature moments of the season. But he hasn't had to do it in the postseason, and it's a different animal. And we've seen that. How many guys over the course of, like, your football fandom have you been, well, this guy's really good. Peyton Manning was, this guy's really good. We acknowledge that, but he still has to prove it to me in the postseason. And that's where Jimmy G's at for me. I'm not saying he stinks. He doesn't. I'm not saying he can't play. He can. He's very good. But he still has something to prove in the postseason, which is a different animal. That's where I think you have to look at this Super Bowl for Jimmy G, is that he has to prove that he can do what he did in the regular season and the postseason, and that he cannot just be along for the ride. He can be driving the bus in the postseason.
Yeah. And listen, you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. that's Siri. You can't, Kirk Cousins is whatever. And I mean, you know, not to disrespect Aaron Rodgers here either, but like, you know, that offense is a different animal.
Yep.
That offense, you saw what they did to Houston. You saw what they did to Tennessee. Yeah. They were down in both of those games. Houston, they were down 3 scores.
Yeah. And led at the half.
And they came back and scored, what, 60 unanswered points?
They scored touchdowns on 7 straight drives.
They're ridiculous. And you can't, you know, you can't, like, can Jimmy Garoppolo even hang in a game like that? Like, he did against the Saints.
I think that's why
people keep bringing that up, because that's the one time he showed he could, you know, compete in a shootout. But I don't know. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of blowouts in Super Bowls over the last 20 years. I think there's only been 3 that were decided by more than 14 points, Gasper. Before that, it was like every other one.
So like Seattle, you know? Denver was one.
Yeah, that was a big one, obviously. There's been a few. But I mean, for the most part, it's 14 points or less.
Yeah.
And back from like the 80s until 2000s, like every other year, it was a huge blowout. Something tells me we might be getting back to blowouts.
Really?
Yeah. I know it's a very, very close line here. But some about the Chiefs and the way they've been going, and I know the offensive team never wins a Super Bowl, like hardly ever. Mm-hmm. Like the good offense never beats the good defense. But we might be going back to the 80s. Like I have a feeling we might be heading back in that direction. Just, you know, and the Niners defense is great. I think they're a really, really solid unit. But man, you know, it's hard to envision anyone slowing the Chiefs down right now.
Well, I'll tell you, interesting stat. Chiefs have scored at least 30 points in each of Mahomes' first 4 postseason starts. So he has not yet started a playoff game where his team didn't score 30 points. So, I mean, again, I think there's some pressure for Jimmy G to put some points on the board.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Arcan in for Murray here on Murray and Gasper, off and running on this Saturday.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub, 617-779-0985 is your number. Arcan in for Murray alongside Chris Gasper here, taking you up until 2 o'clock. And then it's, I believe, Marshall Hook and Ted Johnson. We'll be going after that. And then we got all sorts of games for you tonight. Celtics in action, Bruins in action. Big, big Celtics game tonight here against the Philadelphia 76ers. The last chance the Celtics have this season to score a win against them. So that's a pretty important one, going to be on WROR. Bruins will be against the Minnesota Wild, second night of a back-to-back, and that will be right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But we're opening up here with football, the Super Bowl coming up. Of course, we're trying to create some buzz because Lord knows there hasn't been that much of it. Both teams totally healthy. healthy, don't even have any injuries to talk about. It's just two sort of, I don't want to say long-suffering teams for the Niners, because they were, you know, they had three NFC championship games in a row there in the early teens. But, you know, for the Chiefs, that's a long-suffering franchise right there. And the Niners, I sort of feel like, you know, from a Patriots fan perspective, the Chiefs are what you were in 2000, right? Okay. Like this long-suffering team with a young quarterback who, you know, a lot is sort of getting put on here and, you know, great things are expected of. Maybe they weren't with Brady right away, but, you know, after he won that Super Bowl, they certainly were. And the Niners, I sort of feel like, are what you – they're like a cautionary tale for you. You know, from like 1980 to 97, they went to like, what, 10 NFC championship games and won, you know, however many Super Bowls they won. They were a wagon back then. They weren't as good as the Patriots in these last 20 years, but they were probably as close as you can get in this last, you know, 20, 30-year span. And it's sort of good, I think, to see a team like that go through all the transformations and losing their legendary quarterback and losing their legendary coach and their GM and sort of all that and recovering and able to sort of bring in a new system and have that work out. And now here they are again a few years later after the Harbaugh years, and they're right back in it with Shanahan and John Lynch and sort of, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. That, as a Patriots fan, that should be somewhat comforting, shouldn't it? Like, you know, it's not that bad. Like, you might lose Brady. Bill might retire at some point. But there is a future after that. There is a football life after this, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously they had their struggles for a while. But, you know, right after, with Mariucci and Jeff Garcia, they were really competitive.
True, yeah.
And then they sort of fell on harder times after that. You know, where you sort of look at the Mike Nolan, Mike Singletary, you know, those sort of days. And then it was pretty good with Harbaugh and Kaepernick. And then they had to rebuild once again, and Chip Kelly didn't work out for them. Remember Jim Tomasula?
Oh yeah, I remember when he farted on the dais there. You remember that?
I know, I don't. Did he really?
Oh, Jim Tomasula was answering questions up at the podium, and he let one rip. Yeah,
really?
Mike Ditka style. It was a whole big thing. I remember I was producing up in New Hampshire at the time, and I had to cut up three or four different versions of him.
Of the flatulence?
Cutting up three or four different versions.
Oh,
there, yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know.
Jim Tomasula, noted on-air farter. Absolutely. And I do remember him being there, obviously. Outside of that, I mean, they didn't have a great – Singletary was a disaster there. I mean, they had some real lean years there. But
they have a good coach, but here's the thing. If you're the Patriots – who's going to be the Bill Belichick, you know, moving on 10 years from now, who's just going to hand you a quarterback? Because that's what Belichick did.
Right.
I mean, you know, forget what would have been in the best interest of the team, the Patriots team, would have been to trade Jimmy G to Cleveland and get a first-round pick. He didn't maximize the return there. He did what was in the best interest of Bill Belichick and Jimmy Garoppolo. And the best interest of Bill Belichick was to send him somewhere where he would prove to be a starter and play well, because it proved his point to Kraft. And I think it also burnished Belichick's legacy, and so that's really what he did. I mean, he sent him to a very good coach in an extremely quarterback friendly system,
right?
And that's, again, I'm not taking away from Jimmy, but look at, I mean, Matt Ryan won an MVP in this system. Brian Hoyer in Cleveland, when Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, won 7 games as a starter. Go back and look up Matt Schaub's numbers. Go look up Matt Schaub's numbers from the year he made the Pro Bowl. I think it was like 2008 or 2009. Yes. The year he made the Pro Bowl, Shanahan was there as offensive coordinator. I have the numbers. I don't know the year. He completed 67.9% of his passes.
2009,
4,770 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions. Those numbers are eerily similar to Garoppolo's, and that's Matt freaking Schaub. So, I mean, Bill knew what he was doing. This is a really quarterback-friendly system.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was either there or Cleveland, right? Like, that seemed to be the two most likely destinations. So let's play that out then.
Okay.
Let's say they trade Jimmy Garoppolo to the Cleveland Browns,
yep,
and the Niners end up with Baker Mayfield. Is Baker Mayfield playing in the Super Bowl today or tomorrow? I keep doing that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because obviously, Jimmy came there. They ended up winning the 5 games. It changed sort of the draft pick. I don't know, because is Baker Mayfield going to, you know, tear his ACL so they can get Nick Bosa?
Oh, right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. I guess, you know, do you think that the system is so good that not any quarterback,
but I would say this, I think Garoppolo is better than Jared Goff. But I think, it's the same system basically McVay runs, right? And that made Jared Goff look pretty good. I just think it's really quarterback friendly. And so it's something where it helps the, I don't think Garoppolo is in the Drew Brees Aaron Rodgers, you know, Tom Brady in his prime sort of category. I think he's sort of a step down from that. But again, you know, you'll get like to me, there's like a Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford sort of tier of quarterbacks. And
yeah.
It's like, well, when Shanahan had one of those guys, the guy won the MVP and should have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I think this system definitely enhances quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that in general, the better quarterback ends up winning the Super Bowl. Not every year, obviously 2017.
Yeah, Nick Foles
was not the superior quarterback. But I'd say, you know what, even if you want to go back another couple years, Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. Right? Like, that's, I wouldn't say that at that time Peyton Manning was the superior.
Yeah, Cam was the MVP.
Cam was the MVP that year, but I mean, Peyton Manning wasn't some slouch.
No.
Like, you're talking about Patrick Mahomes.
He was
Mahomes.
Pretty old, though, and he was throwing the football like it was a can of paint, as Jim would say.
It's true, yeah. And I would say in this one, the disparity's pretty clear. Like, even if you're a big Jimmy Garoppolo fan, no one would ever say that he's better than Patrick Mahomes. Like, no one would, in any sense, like in decision making and throwing on the run, handing off, like play action. Like, Mahomes hasn't beaten just about every single category, right? Like, there's no place you would put that. But I sort of feel like that's maybe changing a little bit, you know? Like, is quarterback play becoming less of a determination of who's going to win in certain situations? Like, I feel like the Super Bowl in particular, you know, you can go back a little bit. It's usually Brady or Manning or, you know, Roethlisberger, somebody in there. And there's usually a disparity of who's the better quarterback. Not always, but I'd say there's generally like a pretty serious one. I think there's one this year. But is that going to be the difference? Like, do you think that'll be the difference in the game?
For me, this is more like when the Patriots played the Giants. It's like you have Tom Brady. He was obviously better than Eli Manning, but Eli Manning was pretty darn good. And that's the way I feel about this. It's like Mahomes is better than Garoppolo, but you know Garoppolo's good. And you wouldn't be surprised if I wouldn't be surprised if Garoppolo threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. As hard as I've been on him in the postseason, the only reason I've been hard on him is just because, again, I go back to the Lamar Jackson thing, and it's like the only difference is Baltimore, the people around Baltimore didn't drag Jackson to 2 victories the way Garoppolo has. Like, to me, Garoppolo still has to prove that what he's done in the regular season, which is very good, he can produce in the playoffs. He hasn't done it yet. Now, granted, it's only been 2 games, but this has been the stat I've been trotting out for a while. And just sort of looking at it and feeling like Garoppolo is getting sort of undue credit to this point. And I think he can get legit credit, Arcan, if he goes out and has the game I think he can have tomorrow, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. But this is the stat that I've been using. So who would you say since 2000 was the least accomplished, worst quarterback that ended up being on a Super Bowl winning team?
On a Super Bowl winning team?
Yep.
Hmm.
His team won the Super Bowl.
Foles?
He played pretty well, but you can argue that. But
Actually didn't even play well in the game?
Yeah, just didn't really play well throughout the postseason, or was pretty average, or like, you're like, that guy won. Like a Brad Johnson.
Roethlisberger?
You could say that.
He didn't have a good Super
Bowl.
He
did not. This guy's universally regarded as like sort of the standard. Played for the Ravens when they won the first one.
Oh, Trent Dilfer?
Correct.
Okay.
So 2000 postseason, do you know what Trent Dilfer's quarterback rating was?
I'm going to guess it was like 78.
Actually, no, it was higher than that. He was 83.7
in four
games. Do you know what Garoppolo's quarterback rating is so far this postseason?
Well, I know it was kind of high because he completed 6 of his 8 passes, so it's not
That's
really.
It's a good point.
The passer rating was probably right up there. I'll say for him it was like 86.
Not quite. So remember, Dilfer, 83.7.
Yeah.
And everyone regards him as this guy who was a complete sidecar who really didn't deserve to win the Super Bowl. Garoppolo, 83.6.
Wow.
This postseason.
Wow.
But no one's treating him that way.
It's true, yeah.
Right? He's not getting treated like that, not at all. Instead, it's like, well, what do you expect him to do? Like, throw it? You know, look at the way they're running through Green Bay. You know, you got to give him credit. And it's like, I do for the regular season. But show me what you can do in the postseason. And there's no better stage than the Super Bowl. So I feel like this game is sort of a referendum on Jimmy G, the postseason QB.
Yeah, it absolutely is. This is going to probably make or break that. Because, listen, I think there's a much bigger chance of Mahomes and the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl again than there is Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners. And not because I think the Niners are bad. I just think there's a lot of good competition. The Saints and the Seahawks and sort of all these other teams. The
that
Cowboys.
Division's brutal.
Yeah, that one division right there is really, really strong. And, you know, it's going to be tough for any of those NFC teams to get back. You don't have, you know, a clear-cut favorite. In the AFC, I think it's a little more clear cut that Mahomes is the best, but you also have Jackson and Watson, so it's going to be tough for them too. I think it's going to be easier for the Chiefs than the Niners to get back there, and that's going to put a lot more pressure on Garoppolo for sure. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's get to a call here before we go to break. Chris is in Kingston with a thought on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, just interested. Why is it possible for us to just sign him to the tender and then trade him and get some type of to get some compensation, or is that
The deal that he did when they redid his deal, part of redoing the deal was that a stipulation was put in there that he could not be franchise or transition tag. They cannot tag him.
That was very important to him, and not only that, Kraft has come out and gone on about how important that was to him.
It was, yeah. That came from Tom's side. He wanted to have some control here. I don't think he wanted the Patriots to be able to sort of force his hand in terms of what the contract looked like. So, nope, they cannot do that.
All right, so there's your half hour on the Super Bowl. When we come back, Brady Watch coming your way right after this.
This is Jasper and Murray. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
By the Sports Hub, Gasper and Murray. No Murray. He's still stuck in Florida. I know he tried really hard to get back in time for this shift, Gasper. I know it was...
I think he was on a plane today. He might be on a plane right now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
looked like he had a good time this weekend. You didn't go to Florida this year, did you?
I did not. No, I wasn't down there. Not selected. A little weird, but from what I've heard from some of my media friends... maybe not the worst thing in the world.
I heard it was a disaster this year.
There have been some issues from what I've heard. I will say this, like, there's no, you know, a tradition unlike any other is media members complaining about the accommodations at the Super Bowl. And I'm right at the head of the line of that, I would say. You know, I'm like, I don't know, who's won a lot of majors? I'm like a Patrick Reed or somebody like that when it comes to that. But from what I've heard, the logistics have not worked out quite as well as the media members had hoped. So maybe I didn't really miss anything. And then last night they had a big storm and they had to cancel part of a concert right as Harry Styles was actually about to take the stage.
What?
Yep. Harry Styles was, but don't worry.
You're telling me Jim Murray missed Harry Styles?
Lizzo got her set in, which was good.
Good.
But Harry Styles.
Stopping Lizzo.
There was a big storm with 60-mile-per-hour winds and tornado warnings and flooding, and they had to evacuate the temporary structure for the Pepsi-sponsored concert.
Wow.
So maybe not so bad that we're not there.
It sounds like Firefest. Right? Remember when they had that big storm? All the kids were sleeping out on under the mattress.
Oh my God. I have to say, I love, I still need to watch the Hulu one.
Yeah.
But the Netflix one, I didn't even care about the person, the guy. What's the guy's name who ripped everybody off?
Billy something.
I didn't even care about that. I just thought it was so delicious. All these, millennial influencers who thought they were showing up for this great thing, and they're showing them on the bus, and they're taking their selfies and velfies and all this stuff, and then they show up and it's like Lord of the Flies and they're fighting over a mattress that's soaked outside. That was my favorite part. I was like, this is awesome.
It was pretty amazing. And the guy with the water, I mean, that was...
Oh, yeah. By the way, no one believes that guy. You can just tell, his eyes kind of drop. It's like, oh, no, you did what you had to do to get that water. It's obvious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he went in there. The guy's like, no, you don't need to do this. He's like, I'll do it anyway. Billy McFarland is who we're talking about. That's his name. And he's only 28, by the way. Still in
Fire
jail,
Festival.
That guy, Mr. Fire Festival. Unbelievable. And meanwhile, Ja Rule walks free. He didn't do anything wrong.
Ja's a legitimate businessman.
Where's the justice, I ask you, Chris Gasper?
He's always on time. Doesn't matter. With his debts, whatever. Whatever Ja does, he's always on time. Just ask the Shanti.
That's true. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. Let's go to Matt in the car. He has a thought on the Patriots quarterbacks. Go ahead, Matt.
So you guys had Jimmy G as kind of the average quarterback. The Patriots won and won effectively with the Matt Castle. Do you compare Matt Castle as better than Jimmy G, or Jimmy G would have been able to carry on the legitimate legacy of the Patriots here moving forward?
Well, I mean, look, when you say they won with Matt Castle, I covered that season. They did win 11 games, but they also didn't make the playoffs, and it was also a 5-game drop from the year before. So if you're telling me, let's say you have a quarterback who comes in and replaces Brady and makes the team 5 games worse, so that would mean that you would go from being a 12-win team to a 7-win team. So I think, look, Matt Castle turned out to be a better-than-average quarterback. I'd say he was good. He went on to Kansas City. He made a Pro Bowl. He led them to the playoffs. So, and I think Jimmy's probably better than that. So, you know, but again, let's not get, carried away. They didn't win. Not only did they not win a playoff game with Castle, they didn't make the playoffs, period.
Right.
So.
And Matt Castle also walked into an offense that featured Randy Moss, Wes Welker. Was Stallworth still there? He might have not been there anymore. But, you know what I mean? That was a high-powered Jabbar Gatt. All those guys were just ridiculous. And you know, whoever's taken over for the Patriots after this year is inheriting 33-year-old Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, maybe, if they don't cut him in his $6.5 million. And that's basically it, right? Like, you're inheriting a pretty awful offense.
I mean, James White.
James White is, and he's fine, but I mean, James, I think, you know, there's certainly, you know, you need more than that. You need an offensive line. You need some tight end help. You need some guys to catch the ball. You need a running game. The offense, I think shambles maybe is a little strong, but, you know, you think about somebody like Jarrett Stidham, for example, or even Jimmy Garoppolo stepping into this offense. It's hard for me to picture that going well, you know? Like, I just feel like the offense right now is in a real tough spot.
Yeah, that's a good point, Arcan. And the other thing I would say, too, I mean, you got to remember, they just lost a playoff game where they scored, what, 13 points?
Yeah.
But the other thing, when you look at it, is we've talked so much about this Brady thing. I'm still of the mindset that when push comes to shove, he's going to end up back here, because I think it just makes too much sense for both sides. I don't think the Patriots have a better option, and I don't really think he does either. But I will say this, when I look at it, the fact that we're having this discussion and we're talking about some other quarterbacks, if they replace Tom Brady, doesn't that tell you that they don't think Stidham's ready? Because, like, if they thought Stidham was ready, then this would just be a no-brainer. We wouldn't be talking about Andy Dalton or can they get Derek Carr or Teddy Bridgewater, or what if this guy gets displaced by Brady in this city, like Tannehill, would you take Tannehill? We wouldn't be having any of these discussions if they were assured at this point after 1 year that Stidham was it.
Right. If Garoppolo was still here, you wouldn't have any conversations Dalton or anything else. Even if it was Jacoby Brissett, I think you'd probably have, maybe you'd have some of these kind, but not like you're having with Jarrett Stidham. And I think part of it, Gasper, is because the one time we saw him this season, he threw an interception and they yanked him off the field and never put him back out there again. And that sort of, I think, you know, it told everyone, that game was a blowout. And they were like, we better get him off the field. Like, that, to me, he was good in the preseason throwing to Jacoby Myers against, you know, the future insurance salesman of the tri-state area. But I think that overall, you know, if you believe in Jarrett Stidham, then you have to be at practice every day seeing stuff that the rest of us aren't seeing, because all we've seen of him was them pull the plug very, very early on a blowout garbage time appearance, which, you know, if that's all you got from the guy, it's tough to really feel good about that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's something that you have to look at as sort of a sign. It doesn't mean that long term they don't think he can be the guy, but they don't think he's the guy for next year. And look, they're an aging team. They were on opening day of this past NFL season, they were the oldest team in the NFL in terms of average age of the opening day roster. So they're a team that's kind of built to win now. And do you want to turn that over to a quarterback you're not sure is ready? Like, let me ask you this. I'm just curious about this. Like, this is what's fascinating to me. If it's not Brady, who do you want it to be?
It's not Brady, who would I prefer as the quarterback of the team next year?
You know, knowing what the options are, and none of them are, like, outstanding.
No, Drew Brees said it's, you know, New Orleans or bust for him, but I would like him if, you know, he was available. I don't think Bridgewater would be a terrible placeholder. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I know, just said he wants to play another year, but he's still under contract with Miami. I think he could probably do worse than him, but I'd like to think they could do better. Trade wise, I don't know, Matt Ryan in Atlanta, like, maybe they'd listen to offers for him. He's not really taking him anywhere. There's other guys who I could see, like, you know, coming in and not being a total embarrassment, but I don't know. Who would I like? Who would I prefer?
I mean, let me
Patrick Mahomes. Let me
break it down, like, realistic options, because these are the people that are discussed. So you mentioned Bridgewater. So Andy Dalton, right?
I don't want Andy Dalton.
Marcus Mariota.
Don't want him either.
Okay. See, I would take Marcus Mariota. He's only 26. I think there's something there.
I mean, he lost his job to Tannehill.
He did.
You know, and all they did was hand the ball off.
He did. I still think there's something there. He had a lot of different offensive coordinators. And remember, the guy was the number two overall pick. But he'd be a reclamation project.
I would think Bill could work with a guy like him. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's a lost cause, but I do think he kind of sucks.
Bridgewater, you're out on. So Dalton, you don't like Bridgewater. Don't like Dalton.
Bridgewater, I'm okay with Bridgewater.
You're okay
with
Bridgewater.
I'd be all right
with
him. Yeah, okay. Bridgewater, I'd be fine with. I mean,
Jameis Winston.
Be good for us.
That's true.
That would be good for our business.
30-30 Jameis.
30-30 Jameis, the 30-30 club. First member ever. Jameis, I'd like to think they could, you know, do better than Jameis, but, you know, yeah, I'd take him over Mariota, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Derek Carr, if Brady goes to Las Vegas and displaces Carr, would you take Carr?
For a placeholder, yeah, I'd take him, but
I would too.
I wouldn't like it.
Okay. So, I mean, these are the realistic options that we're discussing. I mean, maybe there's some other team, you know, Tannehill. How do
you feel about him? Trubisky, maybe. Or Tannehill, somebody like that.
You know, I don't like Trubisky.
I don't like Trubisky either. I like Tannehill more than Trubisky, but I don't really like him that much. But you can't, I mean, Tannehill's interesting because
no one's ever seen him play like that before.
I agree.
Right? Like, man, all those years in Miami, he never had a stretch like this.
No.
You kind of wonder if maybe they were just not using him right down there and if they figured something out in Tennessee, or what.
I think he had a great offensive line, a great running back, and very good weapons, and he wouldn't have any of that here.
Yeah, it's true. He definitely wouldn't have King Henry back there.
No.
Let's go to 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Worcester Tony is there, and he has a thought on the Patriots before we go to break. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, yeah. Do you guys think that because you guys are talking about Andy Dalton, that the Patriots are considering Andy Dalton or Marcus Mariota or anything? You know, it seems like you think the tail's wagging the dog. Like, You because you're talking about it, it's a reality, and that the Patriots are actually considering it.
What?
Do we think the Patriots
are listening to us? Probably not. But we're discussing possible quarterbacks.
But the options are the options, Tony. That's who's available. Yes, they are. Who else?
No, they're not.
Okay, so give me some options. Tell me who the other options are that we're not putting out.
The options are Brady stays.
That's everybody's first choice.
Brady goes and Stidham moves up, and then they draft another quarterback. So those are probably more likely than anything else. And just because we're talking about it doesn't mean it's a reality. Let me say this.
Peter King mentioned that the Patriots have been interested in Andy Dalton. I know that Josh McDaniels has had a thing for Marcus Mariota. But that's more information than you're like, Jared Stidham is ready based on zero practices you've seen.
Yeah, Jared Stidham is the guy. Like, why?
I didn't say he's ready.
You said that
he's going to be the quarterback.
You said that. Yeah, you
said. How is Jared Stidham any more likely than any of these other people to be the starting quarterback next year?
He's as likely as anybody else. I'm saying nobody saw the Pats getting rid of Logan Mankins. Nobody saw them trading, you know, making the trades that they've always made. They come out of nowhere, right?
That's fair. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So typically their decisions have nothing to do with what we expect. So, I understand that you got to do this on the radio and stuff, but I mean, for us listening to this, it's like we have a history with the Patriots as fans, and we're like, nobody knows what they're going to do.
Tony. So if nobody knows what they're going to do, no one cares, and no one gives a crap who the next quarterback of the team is going to be. No one cares if Tom Brady's going to leave. No one cares if the next quarterback is going to be Jared Stidham. No one cares about anything because it hasn't happened yet. And how dare anybody discuss it? It's not like it's the most important topic in the history of the freaking franchise or anything.
I mean,
what are you talking about? What is this? I don't understand this. This is unbelievable.
I mean, we're just trying to read the tea leaves based on information we have, which, frankly, Tony is more than you have. And I'll say, I'm not just some guy on the radio. Like, I've covered the team since 2006.
I'm just a guy on the radio.
I'm also a reporter. That doesn't mean that
Gasper
I'm right.
Knows
like,
things, yeah.
No, but I'm wrong. I mean, everybody's wrong. But it's like, this is not just an exercise in BSing, which was your call. This is sort of based on, you know, realistic options and potential options and information. So when multiple people are saying, hey, you know, Andy Dalton, somebody the Patriots feel like maybe they can win with. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're going to sign Andy Dalton, but it also doesn't mean that we're just like totally BSing it. Whereas it's like, you know, he's talking about them somehow baked. He didn't say this, but he's like, they could draft someone. They could. They could draft someone.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, how are they going to get up to number five to get Tua Tagovailoa without a second round pick? How are you going to get in the top 10 to draft Justin Herbert? Like, yes, those things are possible, but then you start to break them down and you look at it and say, well, how realistic is that option? Because what is your ammunition? Because you used a second round pick on Mohamed Sanu, which, by the way, didn't come out of left field. People knew they were interested in Sanu and interested in Emmanuel Sanders, and they ended up with Sanu. So, yes, there are a lot of moves that are very surprising, like Stephon Gilmore, but not every move is Logan Mankins or Stephon Gilmore, or it totally comes out of left field. I would say that's not really accurate.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, there's been how many off seasons where it seemed like the one thing the team needed, they went out and got.
Yeah.
In 2006, they went out and got Randy Moss and Wes Welker that offseason because everyone said they needed wide receivers.
Yep.
After 2013, they went out and got Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner because they needed help in the secondary. They do that sort of thing all the time. If Brady leaves, they're going to need help at quarterback. They'll probably go out and get someone. That's kind of what they've done. You know, it's not always what they've done, but it's part of it. We're discussing what they might do. That's how sports talk radio works, Tony and Worcester. Hate to break it to you. You might be new to this. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Quick break, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub, 617-779-0985 is the phone number, as we're here now on day, what, 20-something of Brady Watch? How long since the season ended? It's been...
Season ended, what, January 4th?
Almost a month, right? We're almost coming up on a month here. Jeez. It's been a month.
It feels like a long month.
Since the season has ended. It does, yes. January is officially over. That was an extremely long month. Not because of the weather, even. It just took a long time, and a lot of stuff happened. But, yeah, that's it. We're almost a month into Brady Watch here, and still no real answers. We know that he's buying property all over the country. He's got a house in Vegas. He's got a house in Greenwich. He's down there in Florida. He probably just bought a ranch in Indianapolis somewhere. Penthouse suite apartment over in Chicago. He's got the place in New York where Giselle and the kids have been holed up, I guess, for a little while. I'm assuming it's a five-story walk up there in Park Slope somewhere. that's the story now. Tom Brady not really leaving a trail of breadcrumbs, but it's going in about a million different directions. And then he has the audacity, Gasper, the audacity to post on Twitter and Instagram a picture of him, and it ends up being one of those, what do you see, a blue dress or a yellow dress situations.
Oh, yeah,
where
yeah.
You don't know if he's walking in or he's walking out of the visitor's
it's
tunnel
like a,
there.
It's like a Rorschach test.
It really is, and Jones and I were reacting to it in real time because he posted it while we were on the air. We both lost our crap. I mean, everybody in the whole region did, and I don't think that answered any questions. I do think, though, that the purpose of it was to get everybody going crazy like we did. Because otherwise, why would he... You know what I mean? Like, if there was supposed to be a picture of him walking in, or it was supposed to be a picture of him walking out, why would you darken it that way so it's completely ambiguous as to which direction he's walking?
It's true.
You know?
So I have to say, I studied this picture pretty closely. I don't know what's going on, but if you zoom in on the reflection, it looks like he's walking towards the field. This is how much time I spent on this.
If you zoom in on the reflection, it looks like
the reflection. There's a reflection in like
in the,
a puddle
in the
or
water.
Something
yeah,
in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
If you zoom in on that, it looks like it's like his backside, which would only be into the puddles behind him. So that would only be possible if he were walking towards the field.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to double check that.
Double check that.
Zoom in, enhance.
Check my work.
I will. I hadn't seen that. But I do think that the point of that whole picture was that you don't know which way he's going, right?
Yep.
Like, that's what he put it out there for. And I know he told the McCord, he's like, oh, I just like black and white pictures. It's the aesthetic I'm really into. You know, like, I just really like filters, you guys. It's on Instagram. There's this filter where
he's
it
like,
tells you what Disney character you are.
You know,
I was Timon and Pumbaa, didn't like it, but that's what it was. You know, like, it was more than that, obviously.
He's like, you know, I'm really into this Facetune app. It's like, really cool, guys. Really cool. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. You know, the other thing is normally... So remember when he had the Instagram post of him in a Patriots uniform and he basically said, like, you know, I definitely plan to play next year. Do you remember
right.
that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, I want to enter the arena or whatever.
Yes,
yeah,
that one.
Or I'm returning to the arena.
So he normally puts text with these things, and he put no text with that, which
right.
is strange.
Yeah, no caption, no indication of what he's trying to say. Just really likes the old black and white look.
Just
you know?
Stirring it up.
Just likes that sort of thing. And, hey, it's a nice-looking picture.
It is. You know? Very, very artsy.
It is. Looks like an album cover.
Does, actually.
Do you read into anything of him walking through the visitor's tunnel? Is that what he does before the game? Like, I know he walks around and sort
yeah.
of inspects the field. Does he go through the visitor's tunnel generally when he does that?
I mean, if he wants to go to the field before he goes to the locker room, that is the fastest way to do it.
It is, okay.
But I don't think it's like, as far as I know, and I'm not Mike Giardi and Mike Reese who are chronicling Brady's entrance to the stadium every time. Those guys do a great job with that. But my understanding, normally he sort of would go to the locker room first. It's when he's at a visiting stadium that he will walk out on the field first, right? Because you want to know what the field conditions are, and it's an mm-hmm. unfamiliar situation. The Patriots stadium, not only is it a familiar situation, but they basically control those field conditions. In other words, if it's been raining, they can put the tarp down or they cannot put the tarp
right.
down. So it doesn't make a ton of sense for him to walk out and explore the Patriots field, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense for that. It also doesn't make a lot of sense to take that picture unless you're trying to send some kind of everyone's sort of, you know, theorizing as to what it means to attribute to Kobe Bryant. I don't think it is. I kind of hope it's not. You know, you're going to do a tribute to Kobe Bryant and not mention his name anywhere. It's just a picture of you. Like, I think that's kind of lame if that's what that is, but
I mean,
I don't think it is.
Part of me was like, oh my God. Like, my first inclination when I saw it, Arcan, I was like, oh my God, he's retiring. Like, this is it. He's
one last look at the field.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I,
yeah.
And I didn't know. And you mentioned the Kobe Bryant thing. I was thinking, like, is he affected by the Kobe Bryant thing? Because now there's this, you know, depending on different reports, the McCourties. Now, the McCourties indicated on Ian Rappaport's podcast, Rap Sheet and Friends from the Super Bowl, that Brady does have a place in Connecticut because they said he's having a Super Bowl party there.
Ooh.
But, you know, you hear these reports
housewarming
about
party.
You know, place in Connecticut, not a place in Connecticut. But if that's where they're going to live, Well, what would be the easiest way for him to get from Connecticut to the Patriots every day?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Helicopter.
Yeah.
And there's a helipad that's right by the Patriots practice field that Robert Kraft uses.
That's right.
But if you see your friend Kobe perish in an accident like that, would you have second thoughts about if, okay, I'm going to play next year and this is how I plan to do it? It might be like, ooh.
I can't imagine anybody wants to go up in a helicopter right now, especially a famous athlete. And Brady, I mean, Brady took a helicopter over to Salem State, right?
He did.
When he did that, yeah, when he had that presentation over there.
Yep.
Right in the middle of Deflategate. So, I mean, that's not something he's opposed to. But, yeah, that's and also, as far as Kobe goes, he already posted a tribute to Kobe. He posted a tribute of him and Kobe, like a picture of them together at TD Garden, and he probably tweeted about him and stuff like that. So I don't think
that's
what
it is. See, now is when Tony should call, because this is completely baseless conjecture and speculation.
Yeah, this is speculation.
I mean, this is pure sports talk radio.
100%.
You know, the other stuff was sort of informed speculation. This is just BS.
That's exactly what this is.
Yep.
Exactly what this is. Yep. And wouldn't have it any other way. Because if someone has to do this work, someone has to break down these Instagram posts, and it's not going to be you people out there.
True.
So that's what we're here for. 617-779-0985. Let's take a call before the top of the hour. Dana is in Rhode Island. He or she has been waiting longest. Go ahead, Dana.
Hey, guys. Thanks. So what's the situation with Jacoby Brissett? Yep. Is there any way that maybe we could trade him for a two, or is he going to free agency? And, Chris, do you think it would be like a – step backwards for our offense because he's been, you know, with a different offense with Indy for a couple of years now, or do you think he would be able to step right back into it? I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Dan. So he is under contract next year with the Indianapolis Colts. He has a roster bonus due, $8.875 million. A large portion of that roster bonus is guaranteed. So my guess is he's going to be on that team next year. They're not going to just let him go. Could you trade for him? You know, I don't know. Maybe if the Colts somehow are able to get a young quarterback they believe in. But, you know, why wouldn't the Colts want to have Jacoby and that quarterback? I mean, his cap hit for a quarterback is relatively low at this point. You know, it's about $15 million. Mm-hmm. That's not an onerous, cap hit. Well, that's the average cap. Actually, his cap hit for next year is 21, but even that's not onerous in today's NFL.
That's not good. Quarter.
It's not, but you know, this is the thing when we talk about if Brady goes, Arcan, that I feel like people don't get. It's like, okay, even if he goes, like, do you know what some of these quarterbacks get? Mm. Like what Nick Foles gets, what Jacoby Brissett gets, what Case Keenum got? Like basically the going rate for anybody who's even halfway decent, who's, unless it's a guy on a total reclamation project contract like Ryan Tannehill, it's like 18, 19, 20 million. That's what the going rate is for guys who can like throw an NFL football and walk, talk, and chew gum at the same time.
And you got Brady for 23 this year.
Yeah. So,
and was throwing out everything and putting it all in this season.
The only teams that have quarterbacks that are really cost effective are the guys that are still on the rookie deals. Right? It's either a guy on a rookie deal or a reclamation project like Tannehill who you hit the lottery on. Everybody else, it's like the cap hit's going to be 18, 19, 20 million minimum. Minimum.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think that's probably true. And that's a reality that Patriots fans have gotten so used to Brady. And I feel like saying the discounts every year is kind of misleading because in like 2010 and, you know, a couple other years, he signed for, you know, top of the market
but even
type
those
of money.
Were discounts. Like the even other those were,
yeah.
The other quarterbacks, I can tell you, Tom Condon and Peyton Manning, when he signed the four-year $72 million thing in 2010, were like, what are you doing? This should have been minimum $20 million a year. Like, why are you taking this deal?
Yeah, and, you know, for Patriots fans, it's sort of easy to be like, well, Brady just wanted to win. Brady wanted to have the best team around him. Brady. That's all true, but when Brady leaves, you're not necessarily going to get that from the next guy. And that's a reality that I think everyone's going to have to get used to. And listen, I mean, I heard them talking about the Chargers saying they might franchise tag Phillip Rivers. I thought, what? Why would you pay that guy that much money? But if you just want to have a placeholder for a year, franchise tagging him, considering what like the middle of the road quarterbacks make, isn't that much more money. Like, it just isn't. It's a lot, and Rivers certainly doesn't deserve it. But if you're just trying to sort of, you know, bridge a gap between one season to the next, you're not spending that much more than you would be on the Keenums of the world and those other people. It's just the way it is. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll do the headlines here at the top of the hour, and then possible landing spots for Tom Brady. That's coming up next
Sports
hour.
Sports Hub Celtics show from noon to 1.
That's right. Sports Hub Celtics show from noon to 1 is coming up after that. And then we will resume our baseless speculation on Tom Brady right after this.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.